since the beginning of March, we've been speaking to this series, Let Your Faith Roar, getting insights from the book of James in the Bible. And if you've missed any of this series, I encourage you to go to our YouTube, Life UC, not Life Unlimited Church, but Life UC, YouTube Life UC, and you'll be able to catch up on past messages. And it's an absolutely great series. And even if you're watching online, you can do that also. And if you're up in the overflow area, it's really good. Won't be long, we won't be having an overflow area, will we? Because we've got so much space for everyone. Can't wait. It's going to be good. But today we're looking at the book of James and James chapter 4, verses 11 to 12. And we're still focusing on words matter, which John Pierce last week spoke to so well. It was just great. And I'm continuing on with words matter. Shift our judgment to faith. Shift our judgment to faith. So let's look at James 4, verses 11 to 12, and I'm reading for the Living Bible. Don't criticize and speak evil about each other, dear brothers. If you do, you will be fighting against God's law of loving one another, declaring it is wrong. But your job is not to decide whether this law is right or wrong, but to obey it. Only he who made the law can rightly judge among us. He alone decides to save us or destroy. So what right do you have to judge or criticize others? Wow. That verse is a bit like that one Jesus made, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. This message is definitely for me. So I'm preaching to myself, but I have a funny feeling there might be a few others that are in the same boat. Just saying. And criticize and slander reveals our heart's posture, and it's one of pride. We think we're better. Oh, I'd never do that. Oh, I'd never say that. How could they? Off we go and off I go. Matthew 7, verses 1 to 4. Don't criticize and then you won't be criticized, for others will treat you as you treat them. And why worry about the speck of a, sorry, and why worry about a speck in the eye of a brother when you have a board in your own? Should you say, friend, let me help you get that speck out of your eye, when you can't even see because of the board in your own? And how many times are we focused on what is wrong in other people's lives, like we're perfect, and we still aren't addressing what is wrong in our own lives? None of us know exactly what is going deep down in the person's life. Like, and so, you know, what seems a priority to us, you know, amazingly enough, isn't the priority on God's list of what he's doing in that person and what he's navigating and working with them to get through. Only God has the right to judge. James 4 verse 12 again says, only he who made the law can rightly judge among us. He alone decides to save or destroy. So what right do you have to judge or criticize others? You know, when we judge others, we place ourselves in God's seat. God alone has perfect perspective, motives, and authority. Romans 14 verse 4 says, who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or fails. Our view is so limited and it's so biased, let's face it. Judging assumes omniscience, the state of knowing everything, something only God possesses. Leviticus 19 verse 16 says, do not spread slanderous gossip among your people. Do not stand idly by when your neighbor's life is threatened. I am the Lord. And this command shows care that extends beyond refraining from gossip. It's called to calls us to actively protect one another's reputation and well-being. When we gossip and when we withhold gossip and safeguard our neighbors, we reflect a loving community. Proverbs 18 verse 8 says, the words of gossip are like choice morsels. They go down into the innermost parts. Adrian Rogers says, gossip is the devil's radio. Don't be his DJ. We need to be shifting our judgment to faith. I know a name, and his name is Jesus. Call on the name of Jesus, who is life and can use your faith to speak life into others and build them up. Ephesians 4 verse 29 says, watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps. Each word is a gift. Ephesians 4 verse 29 in another version says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Bernard Meltzer said, before you speak, ask yourself, is it kind? Is it true? Is it necessary? If not, let it be left unsaid. Whether you're talking to someone down behind their back, criticizing them, or gossiping about them, there is a price tag that goes with it for you and for me. And I really felt the Holy Spirit was quickening the following two points this morning. The first one is we can restrict a person's future by our judgment. You know, sometimes we can hear something about our friends and before we know it, we've made a judgment call about them. I'm guilty of that for sure. Proverbs 16 verse 28 says, a troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. And it's astonishing how just a few whispered words can split close companions. This verse shows that gossip isn't just idle chatter. It can slowly erode the bond between people who genuinely care for each other. And when we don't steer clear of rumors and don't, when we steer clear of rumors and don't entertain the worst, we keep friendship strong and uphold unity. What about those who have genuinely made a mistake? Do we write them off? Just because we didn't realize it was a mistake or whatever? We don't think that that can amount, we don't think that they can amount to anything more. They'll always be like that. So we never use our faith to build them up, empower them and release them into the future that God has got for them. Our judgment keeps them pegged right where they are. We imprison the very people we are wanting to live in God's freedom. James 4 verses 11 to 12 says, another version, don't badmouth each other, friends. It's God's word, his message, his royal rule that takes a beating in that kind of talk. You're supposed to be honoring the message, not writing graffiti all over it. God is in charge of deciding human destiny. Who do you think you are to meddle in the destiny of others? Pretty blunt. At just 18 years old, Matthew James Norman, his picture's up on the screen, was convicted in Indonesia as one of the Bali Nine. Initially sentenced to life imprisonment, his sentence was first reduced to 20 years, only to be unexpectedly increased to the death penalty. Following a later appeal, the sentence was again changed, this time to life without the possibility of release. During nearly two decades behind bars, Matthew underwent a profound personal transformation, becoming a devoted Christian. His faith became the foundation of life, leading him to earn degrees in both theology and chaplaincy, which enabled him to bring hope and encouragement to fellow inmates and prison staff. After years of steadfast faith and countless prayers, his miracle finally came, and he was released in December 2024. He now lives in Victoria with his family, embracing a new chapter rooted in grace, hope, and redemption. How easy it would have been for people to just write him off, not even think about him. Oh, well, look what he's done. I mean, yep, he deserves it. But God doesn't write off people, no matter what. Even if you're in prison, God doesn't write you off. Jesus asked you to follow him. Be his apprentice and he will help you see others through his eyes, to see people not as they are, but how they can be, how you can be. But as we need to shift our judgment to faith. Matthew in the Bible, think about him. Many would have said, that's a man who's been an unscrupulous tax collector and he was unlikely to be chosen by Jesus as a disciple. That's everyone who pegged him, made that thing, oh gosh, he'd be the last person. Jesus, however, saw him not as he had been and not as he was, but as he could be. But there was, in fact, three different Matthews. Matthew, how he saw himself. Matthew, how others saw him. But Matthew, how Jesus saw him. Each thought he saw the true Matthew. Jesus invested 3 years of his life in him, and he turned out to be Matthew of infinite possibilities, the man who wrote the gospel that has survived the centuries. Jesus did not look on people as they were, but perceived what they could become. Do you have a similar vision for people? A vision of what they can become? Jesus had it, and we can have it too. Don't judge and write off people. You have no idea what they can become. We need to shift our judgment to faith. Let your faith roar. I know a name, Jesus, and he can bring life and transform people's lives. The other point was, we can restrict our future by our judgment. We can restrict our future by our judgment. We look at ourselves, we make a judgment call and feel we'll never amount to more in life. Oh, you think, if only you knew the mess that I have made, how many lives I've hurt and messed up. God could never forgive me, little less use me. I think God has more than proved he is willing to forgive anyone if he will let his own son be crucified to pay the price for humanity's sin. One, once for all, past, present, and future. His forgiveness, mercy, and grace is way more than any mess you could ever have made. But you know, the biggest problem is you and what happens between your two ears. It's all up in here. Your human thinking and judgment about yourself limits you to being released into all the potential that God has for you. You think with your natural thinking, but God operates with supernatural power. We need to shift our judgment to faith. Let your faith roar. I know a name, and his name is Jesus, and he can transform your life if you will let him. If you will let him. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says, but as it is written in the scripture, no one has ever seen this, or no one has ever heard about it. No one has even imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Selwyn Hughes asks, have you ever asked yourself, who is the real me? The real you is the one only God can make you. You were not made to grovel or wallow in sin or struggle with relationships. God made you for himself, to fill you with his love, and then for you to share that love with others. In the Bible, Jesus gazed on Simon, a fisherman, who was often uncertain and was denied knowing Jesus 3 times, but was restored by Jesus after his resurrection. Renamed Peter, he became a foundational leader of the early church. God can restore public failure and use it for kingdom impact. Jesus looked on Augustine. He rejected Christianity in his youth and pursued a life of pleasure, pride, and worldly ambitions. His passions included sexual immorality, drunkenness, and philosophical arrogance, seeking truth outside of Christ. After years of searching and faithful prayers of his mother and a bishop, he heard a child say to him one day, take and read. And he picked up this Bible. The verses he read awoken something in him, and that was the moment he surrendered to Christ. He became a bishop and a prolific theologian and a defender of the Christian doctrine. His writings helped shape Western Christianity. No one, whether you're here today, or you're online, or you're up in our overflow, no one is gone, too far gone for God's grace. Not if the worship team would like to come. We've got a fright. Good, she's finishing. We had dinner in Nashville, USA, 2 months ago, name dropping, with a lovely man and his wife, Maurie Davis, and his wife, Gail. He was dressed well and was so welcoming and so generous in spirit. No one would have known that this was the same guy who, at 18 years of age, was convicted of manslaughter for the brutal killing of a Sunday school teacher. While in jail awaiting trial, he experienced what he calls a jailhouse conversion to Christ. He began preaching to fellow inmates, and after serving only 8.5 years, was miraculously released. He eventually became senior pastor of a church called Cornerstone Church. And under his leadership, the church grew from 200 people to 5,000 or more. And in 2013, Maury Davis was diagnosed with leukemia. And he had a miraculous recovery with subsequent tests showing no signs of the disease at all. He's retired from active pastoral ministry now and now focuses on coaching, consulting other leaders and helping people. Your age, whether you're young or you're older, a couple of months I turned 70 and I am in no way writing off the future that God has got for me. No age, no prison sentence, no disease, no mistakes, no lack of ability, physical or mental challenges, whatever, never stops the great plans and future God has for you if you will follow him. It just doesn't stop. I know a name and his name is Jesus. Can you believe that Jesus can transform you? We need to shift our judgment to faith and let our faith roar. What God has put in your heart, what has God put in your heart, and you thought it will never happen, so you buried it. You made a judgment call that wasn't yours to make. Well, I know a name, Jesus, and he can break the chains of your mindset and bring that dream out of the grave. Dead things can come alive again in the name of Jesus. I know a name, Jesus. Shift your judgment on yourself and others and bring freedom to their lives and also your own. We need to start declaring the word of God over our lives and our future. It is powerful. You thought God would never heal you. You ain't dead yet, baby. I know a name, and his name is Jesus, healer and risen in power. Call on his name and don't give up. He has not forgotten you. Your miracle is on the way. You know, it's one thing to call on the name of Jesus, but if you don't know him, it's a good step first to start a relationship with him. He is so for you. As I said before, there's nothing that you could have done in life to mess it up. But you know, if you're going to call on his name and really know who he is, it's one thing knowing about a name. It's another thing about knowing who that person is and getting to know him and the difference he can make in your life. He can transform you. You can try all these things. I've read about different people. You can try and look all over the world and think you're great in your own success, but you're not anything compared to what God can do in your life. And there's nothing in your life he can't break, heal, fix, whatever, totally transform you if you will call on his name, if you will get to know him.